I'm Lisa.
And I'm Jeff.
And you are listening to The Real Real Estate. So let's get into it. All right. So how's your New Year's going so far?
You know what? It's going really well. We've seen a lot of new activity in the real estate market. So I'm super happy. So.
Yeah. What are the interest rates? Have you looked at them?
Yeah, I think they went down to, well, for a while they were down at like 6.25%. And then I think they've come back up just a hair, but the trend is still downward. So looking very good for spring.
Yes. Yes. And everyone's very excited about that because there's a lot of buyers. And,
yes, exactly.
But no one wants a $9,000 mortgage on an $800 house.
Right. Exactly.
So
that is very true.
All right. So I have a couple stories today.
All right.
But I'm going to let you pick which one you want to start with.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to do two different stories. These are both from Reddit. So this one was from a year ago, and it says, what was the worst open house showing you went to, and why was it so bad / sad / whatever? Question mark.
Okay, that'll be a good one.
And then another one, this one is only 3 days old. So this is brand new.
Brand new, okay.
And it says, under contract as a buyer, but a major dilemma has arrived.
That one also sounds like a very good one to talk about.
All right. Cool. So which one would you like to start with?
Let's start with the major dilemma. I'm curious.
Major dilemma. Yeah. Okay. So the major dilemma. We've been looking for houses for the past couple of months, and we finally got an offer accepted last week. We currently live out of the country, so our realtor has been doing a lot of showings on FaceTime for us. The house is decent and in a nice location, but it doesn't have the total package for us. I realized that the total package almost never exists. However, I joined a Facebook group for the neighborhood's HOA, and I found some disturbing posts about the quality of the homes in the neighborhood. All built by the same builder, and inspection is scheduled for Thursday. Let's call this house one. A friend of a friend who is moving out of the state and selling their home, that this home is in our dream neighborhood. We spoke to them last night, and rather getting it in a selling condition, they were willing to sell it to us for a very reasonable price that would instantly give us at least $50,000 in equity. It needs some refurbishing and in the way of paint, flooring, and maybe some windows, but it's a great house and the location exactly what we want. Let's call this house two. I'm not sure what to do though. House two is basically everything that we want. Once we put up some of our own touches, it will be spectacular. I'm sure that we'd also be happy living in house one, but it would be a few years until we had as much equity, and the quality of construction concerns me. We also feel guilty with the realtor situation. Our realtor has been so sweet and accommodating with us being out of the country. And if we buy house two from our friend, we wouldn't need her. She's shown us about 6 to 8 houses at this point, and we feel like we've wasted her time. But at the same time, we've lost out on a couple of houses due to, in my opinion, her lack of
assertiveness.
Yes, assertiveness. Assertiveness. I don't know why. It's fine. Has anyone been through a similar situation, and any realtors who want to chime in?
That is a good one. It's a very likely scenario that happens quite often too. So, I mean, it's not something that's out of the ordinary. The two things that stand out to me is, number one, even if you're buying it from your friend, you probably still should use your realtor, you know, even if it's at a reduced fee or something like that, just, you know, do that so that the paperwork gets done correctly.
Yes. Because as we know, for sale by owners with no representation on either side,
right,
usually goes pretty negatively. And the transaction.
Yeah.
Typically, not always.
Yeah. I was going to say it can go smoothly, but you know, again, there's that friend dynamic that can go south on you. And then if somebody misses some paperwork or something, closing can get delayed, and usually everybody's pretty amenable, but it would definitely be worth having the realtor involved in that.
Yeah.
You know, to kick her $5,000 or something like that and call it good. That would be my solution for that problem. But then secondly, you know, they're talking about a house that they are okay with versus a house that they really want, even if they have to make it their own and kind of upgrade a little bit. My choice would always be house number two in that scenario.
Yeah, 100%. I think house number two as well. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people on here agree with that. So I can start. So the top comment on here is that part of being a realtor sometimes is you sell it on the first few showings, and sometimes it'll go on forever and never happen. You need to live in the house that you want. Yeah. So I think most of these comments are really just, that is kind of the part of being a realtor, is you can work with, you know, buyers or even sellers or have a listing and things like that. And not every transaction goes through.
Agreed. Yeah. And
what do you think the percentage on actual transactions once you've worked with somebody?
I don't know. I'd say mine's fairly high. I would say, you know, if I can get like a face-to-face meeting with them or a showing with them or something like that, it's like 80% that they'll choose to use me. And then, you know, most of the time they're at least somewhat down the prequal road and they can actually buy the house. So I'd say that kicks out probably another 10 or 15% or something at that point. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Call it 50-50 and that's a good ratio.
So another comment says, if you are under contract, you have a representation agreement signed somewhere. In most states, you can't go under contract without that agreement signed. It may be specific to this property only, or it could apply to any bought and property within so many days. You have to read it.
That is correct. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, you do have a buyer, probably have a buyer broker agreement in place with that other agent that specifies some form of payment, you know, maybe not, you know. And there's two kinds of those too. There's exclusive and non-exclusive. And so you want to check and see which one you've got there.
So there's a lot of comments on this. There's actually a lot of comments on this.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah. For the most part though, it seems like everyone agrees with us for the most part that they should go with the house that they want to buy.
Agreed. I might also, while you're using the services of the realtor, have them do a market analysis on the house that your friends are selling too.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right. So that you actually know whether you're getting that $50,000 in equity or if there's some other factors. So, you know, bring her in at that point. You're probably going to pay her anyway. You know, why don't you bring her in and use that resource that you have there as well?
Yeah. Because she can still, I mean, be a statutory broker and, you know, represent both sides, but just on the paperwork side. So moving on.
Perfect. I was actually trying to think of the first question, I was trying to think of like my most unusual open houses. And I've actually had really good open houses, but I've had some really weird showings. So
this is pretty comical. This one's good.
Cool.
Okay. So the title of this one is, what was the worst open house / showing you've been to? And why was it so bad? Okay.
Yeah, this one will be awesome.
We toured house number 11 this past weekend. I was a little unsure as there were a lot of clutter in the photos, but I can look past there. There was an open house and the house had already been on the market for over a week. First off, the neighborhood was awful, period, in all cap locks. So that's serious.
Right.
Serious.
Yeah.
Okay. The house itself was backed up to a private green space, and I knew that there was a lock on the fence on the other side of the home for service workers, as it's shown in the listing photos. However, that fence was broken, wide open, and covered with spray paint. Okay, let's keep going. We went inside, and it was just a lot. Little knickknacks everywhere, a quote on the wall, a giant cat statue, boxes within the garage, which is pretty normal. But
yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't sound so bad so far.
A cat statue is
a little weird.
And then also boxes all over the floor. It was honestly very difficult to see or imagine because you could barely walk through it. The realtor looked like she just woke up and was blaring country music from her phone. So this is an open house. This isn't like just a showing.
Oh, okay. All right. That
In the kitchen. She's blaring country music from her phone in the kitchen and was eating when we walked in. She refused to move out of the way of the kitchen area, and she just had her snacks and her lunch spread everywhere and was eating. And there's dirty litter boxes in some of the rooms. So there's more than one dirty litter box.
Okay. Yeah.
The backyard was right up against a huge transformer, so it was just a loud hum. I left feeling a lot of things. Disappointment was bursting out of us. Sad for the homeowner that this will probably be a very hard sell. And there was just a lot of weird emotions to feel. I got the impression that it was an older couple / gal living there, and they weren't able to stage the home. So ultimately, I felt more sad for them.
Yeah.
Tell me what your experience with the hottest or weirdest showing that left you just feeling, in quotations, off.
Yeah, I was trying to think what that is. Just to comment on that one just a little bit, you know, sometimes there are situations where as a realtor, we just get handed a project and there's nothing you can do about it. It's just like, it is what it is. I wouldn't be eating my lunch on the counter. I wouldn't be eating my lunch in that house. But you know, beyond that, sometimes there's things that are outside of our control that if there's a renter in the house or whatever, we just can't physically clean it up or do whatever. So you have to sell it as is.
Yes.
So I do get that part, but yeah.
Unprofessional.
Yeah.
Some of the realtor though.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, personally, I guess I can't speak for, like, you know, all realtors. I don't eat at my open houses.
Right. Yeah.
I might have a coffee or a water or a tea, but there's nothing beyond that.
Yep. And usually when I post up at an open house, I'll have like clear view of the driveway. So I know when people are coming anyway.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, if you want to grab a snack or something, that's fine. Just don't be eating when they come in the door.
Yes. 100%. And I mean, a lot of realtors do bring speakers and things like that to mm-hmm. just give a little bit of background, you know, noise. So the house isn't like pure silence and you kind of feel like a little bit stalkerish towards like the people that are coming in to see the open house.
But
to be blaring it so loud off your phone that it's noticeably loud.
Distracting.
Is,
yeah. And honestly, there's the other part to speak to that on that one is that that house was not a good candidate for an open house. You know,
no.
It needed, you just price it correctly and you bring in people that are capable of doing a remodel and doing all the things along with that. You don't necessarily want the public in that environment anyway.
Yeah.
You're not going to result in a successful sale there. Probably you're not hitting the right audience. So
yeah, that would be
so weird.
That would be so weird and like so uncomfortable for like the.
And then as far as like my weirdest showing, I think your story actually from the other day tops my weirdest showing, but I was trying to remember there was. A second ago, and I cannot remember what it was.
What was the weird showing that I had the other day?
Where the agent met you at the and told you about like the haunting upstairs.
Oh yes. Yeah,
that one.
The haunting. Yeah, yes. When the agent met us there and was like, "The house is haunted. So if you see like a, you know, just a gentleman walking around in a yellow suit and like, I'm like, there are children with us. Like,
right?
If that like." Don't.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, that was super weird. Well, the one that pops in my mind, it was my mistake, but I did it anyway. I set up a showing for this condo and we walk into this condo and we're showing the house and everything. Everything's good. And it's a three-story condo. And so we walk in, we check out the garage on the main floor or the kind of the basement garage. And then we go to the main floor. It's the kitchen. And then the second floor was where all the bedrooms were. And so we walked around on the main floor. We go up to the third floor and we're looking at the entire house and we get to the master bedroom and the door is closed on the master bathroom and someone is actively showering in there. And so we quietly back out of the house and then tell the other agent. And it turns out that there was three roommates living in there. Two out of the three roommates had got notified that there was a showing. Third one had no idea what was going on.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine if they walked out of the bathroom? Right. Just like,
yeah,
that would be a stunning moment for everyone.
Exactly. So that was one of the interesting ones. The other one that I had was, again, it was my mistake on this one. It was a fourplex and it had a condo on each end. And it turns out one of the condos was listed for sale, and that was the one I wanted to show. But there was another one on the other end that was going to go active the next day. And the numbers were not clearly labeled on the outside of it. And the way you came in, it was the one that was going to be listed the next day that did not have the sign in front of it was the first one that you saw. And so it had the right address and everything. It was just the difference between A and D. And I'm like, oh, there's the house with the lockbox. And I unlocked the lockbox and walked in. And I'm like, these pictures do not match what I got going here. And so again, we looked around the kitchen and we're like, I don't think this is the right one. And then we backed out, looked down the street just a little bit. And then there was the other one that we were supposed to show. So those are the ones, again, not too serious, but those are the ones that come to the top of my head. So,
oh gosh, this was a few years ago. And I was showing clients houses. I think it was actually, we worked with them kind of together. And I took them into this house and the house was outdated. They tried to do some remodeling, but it was more kind of like a band-aid cover up, but the house was vacant. And that really wasn't weird. It was, the inside was a little bit less, you know, put together, but you know, they were pretty knowledgeable on things like that. And they were okay with a bit of a fixer upper. Mm-hmm. And then we go out into the garage and it looks pretty normal so far. And then, so we're looking at like, you know, around and there's a door in the floor of the garage. And so the client lifts up this trap door in the garage and there's stairs going down. And there's a lock on that exterior of this, not under, like, it's not a bomb shelter.
Right. Okay.
And I mean, it might've been at one point, but we don't honestly know what it was. And we walked down and then there was a soundproof room to the left underneath the garage.
Okay.
And we left very quickly, not to insinuate anything was going on, obviously, but you know, with that, it's going to just throw.
Right. Yeah. That should be one of those things where it's like, I don't even know how you would handle that as a realtor. Like if you were listing that place, just lock it and be like,
hey, it's not, it wasn't listed. It wasn't even in the agent notes. So it was just, I'm not sure if the agent just didn't go in the garage to see it or something
of
that level.
Yeah.
But it was really, it was definitely not mentioned in the listing.
Right. And you definitely want to make sure it's like cleared out. And so for some people, it would be like a really cool feature where you could do like a gun safe or like a, you know, like a hidden.
Like a cellar or something like that. Yeah, safe room
or something like that. So it could have been that. But you would want to definitely, you know, set up the marketing so that that part of it was, you know, that possibility was visible rather than just the dark, creepy hole.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This is like really off topic because it was a house that I lived in.
Yeah.
But I lived in this house that had, it was like the main house. And then there was, it looked, I thought it was just, I lived in this house for like well over a year at this point. And it looked like it was just kind of like a watershed because the house had a well and a, you know, septic, propane tank, things like that. And I was renting at this time and the sellers were like, don't go into there. And I was like, okay, well, I did because my key to my house unlocked it. And it was just one day of curiosity.
Yeah.
And there was, so you could flip on a switch in the garage and it turned the lights on. And there was an actual elevator that went down like with a button.
Yeah.
And there was a 3-bedroom concrete. They were doomsday preppers. You got 100%. Sure. It was so nice and so clean. And it was so far down that it stayed at a solid like 60 degree temperature.
Right. Okay. That's and awesome. Yeah.
If you, I'm not going to say what house it is just because like privacy reasons, but if you look at the actual listing on Zillow, it does show that. So it wasn't a secret or anything, but while I was renting it and it was probably more for safety things. Like they don't want kids or like, you know, you going and getting locked
down. Right. Or they're renting you the house part, not the bomb shelter.
Yeah.
Part.
Not the bomb shelter, but that was also like one of the weird things.
That is super cool. Or maybe they had like another renter that lived down there.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it was legit and it had like oxygen and everything down there. You like, you could, it was pretty cool. You know what? I'll pull up the house after this. So just so you can see it.
I'm curious on that one too. I kind of want to buy it. So
Right. I mean, it is like, it was crazy and it had like, it was wild. It was cool though. And it was so clean. It was awesome.
Right. Yeah. Cause nobody's ever down there.
Yeah. This house also had like 2 full kitchens. Like, I don't know. They were planning on having, they could have anybody live, like lots of people live there. All right. So, we'll get into a couple of the comments here. Oh, this one's good. This one's good. Okay. So this was also posted a year ago. I think most of these comments were posted about the same time that the Reddit post was posted. So it says, place number one, a cute townhouse listed on Redfin with an open house. My husband and I arrived within about 15 minutes. We knocked on the door and there was no answer, but we heard a loud TV volume coming up from the upstairs level. We realized the door was open and we go inside and go upstairs. Since it isn't uncommon for an open house to have the door unlocked, we just figured that the showing agent was just busy with someone else. So once we go up there, we find a guy unconscious on the couch with no one else around and 2 small dogs looking at us. We go right up to him. We call out loudly to see if he's okay, but he doesn't stir. At this point, we were worried about there might be a medical emergency. And so we went outside and we called the realtor's phone number on the listing on the front of the house. As we were describing what was happening to someone on the phone, another tenant of the home arrives and asks what was wrong. We tell them and he goes upstairs and he shakes the guy awake. Turns out the passed up guy was both the showing agent and the owner.
What?
And he had decided to take a nap since no one had came to the open house for a while. Once he woke up, he didn't even bother to show us and it seemed like he wasn't even all there. The other tenants was clearly pissed at him. Offered to let us look around, but the whole experience was so unsettling that we quickly left. Needless to say, that place stayed on the market for a while.
Yeah, that sounds like somebody who like has an investment portfolio and they looked at like all the amount of commissions they were paying to their realtors, you know, when they bought and sold property and got their license just to buy and sell their own property.
Yep.
But that wasn't actually, you know, at that, you know, realtor open house level.
Yeah, 100%. Just sleeping on the couch watching TV.
Right. And always make sure you're properly caffeinated before your open house.
Yeah, 100%.
Cool.
Also, like, I don't know how you would even fall asleep with the idea that someone could potentially walk into that home at any time.
Right.
Like,
although I have heard of an agent that, you know, open houses are usually on Sunday afternoon, you know, and he was out partying the night before and he literally, no one was showing up at the open house and he literally went like in a back closet and took a nap.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I don't think anybody ever came to his open house, but I did hear his story about that here as well. So again, it does happen. But again, that kind of speaks to that level of professionalism. Just, you know, take that, you know, take that and be like, you know, even though nobody was showing up, somebody did show up. And now they have that image of you as a realtor sleeping on your own couch, I guess.
Yeah, just
hilarious.
All right. So here's another comment. Duplex single level, open house style, realtor was rude as hell. One half reeking of pot and cat. Oh, that's a smell.
That is a potent combination.
Smell. Other half. Oh, my gosh. Another had dried cat shit in two of the rooms on the carpet. Very obvious it was cat shit. Mm. Almost had to hop over it to get through both of the rooms. I made a note of the realtor's name. If they are involved in a property, I won't bother looking at it. As we walked out of the place and looked at my realtor's face was hilarious. Because a lot of realtors, if you are the buyer and there's a listing agent, a lot of the time, you know, the buyer's agents will go with, you know, their clients right. to go look at open houses.
Yeah.
Especially if they have like,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, private showings and then they're like, oh, let's check this out.
But they still do the open house with those, with the house in that condition, man. That's rough. I'd just be like, hey, this is not an open house.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
I did have an open that I had a condo mm-hmm. listed. I think, you know, what condo that I was talking about. There was renters in it and they let their dog just
freak yeah.
havoc. Mm-hmm. That listing actually never even sold.
Right.
And, but it's hard because there's really nothing. I mean, you can go around and clean up, you mm-hmm. know, animal feces well before
yeah.
anyone gets there, but it is difficult because sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to assume anything.
Right. Yeah. And it is one of those things where it is kind of funny because as a realtor, you know, people think we have like a lot more control over the situation than we do sometimes. And it really is, you know, the seller or the clients or whatever, or maybe there was a seller that said, hey, sell my thing and I want to do an open house this weekend. And the tenants are like, we don't want you to sell the property. We're going to leave it trashed for the mm-hmm. open house. So there's some of that going on too. And yes, you can clean it up, but it's still going to look, you know, pretty terrible at that point. So yeah, we get blamed for like the condition of the house. We get blamed for, you know, the condition of the market prices, all that type of stuff. We really have essentially zero control over most of that stuff.
Yes. Yeah, we really do. Mm-hmm. Most of these comments, I feel like the biggest thing on these is people walking into houses that whoever's living there smokes in it and like had just put out, mm-hmm. you know, a cigarette right before. That actually did happen yeah. to me a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And the house was only 440 square feet, which is.
Yep. Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah. Potent. Yes. I have sold multiple houses that have had somebody smoke in them. And it's, you know, not impossible to get that out of there, but realistically, it's like $10,000 or $15,000 worth of remediation.
Yeah, because yeah, so, yeah. it's a lot of, yeah, remediation, because it seeps into the drywall, into yeah. the carpet, into yes.
all soft surfaces.
Yeah, everything.
Even like the windows and the walls have to be washed too.
Yeah.
And then the one thing that people don't think about is cleaning out the furnace ducts. Mm-hmm. So you have to have the duct cleaning guys come in, change all the filters out, all that type of stuff. I was trying to remember. Oh, the other big one is you can clean everything and there's a circulation fan underneath the refrigerator and it will suck in the smoke smell. And then you'll get everything cleaned and you'll be like, why does my kitchen smell like smoke? And it's that. And
check your fridge. Yeah, you buy smoke in house.
Yeah, check the fridge.
I feel like what I've also seen is people will go, they'll know that it's smoked in, no one's smoking in it then, but then they'll paint. Yes. But unless there's like a kills or something on it.
Yeah.
Nicotine will actually leak almost what looks like brown syrup down mm-hmm. the wall. So it will leak back through if it's deep enough and it's been smoked in enough to come through the actual paint.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it also sticks to like rough wood like that too.
Yeah.
Like it's, you basically wind up replacing that. There's no mm-hmm. way you can clean that. So, yeah.
I did hear one time, I don't know if it's true or not, that cedar, people that smoke in their house, if they have cedar, it'll absorb into the cedar and it'll actually break down the nicotine. Oh, really? But I don't know if that's true or not, but
okay.
There's a couple people that I feel like told me that at one point in time.
It could be true. They do have there's some wood oils in the wood that might break that down, but I don't know, it seems like an expensive.
But yeah, I think that's all we really have for today. It might be a shorter episode. This is our first episode, so it's kind of getting our ropes on it, kind of seeing, you know, what the best stories and methods and
absolutely
rhythm goes yeah. to, but yeah. we want to thank you for listening yeah. And hopefully we'll have more episodes coming out soon. This is kind of just a sneak peek of what is coming next.
Yeah. And if you have any topics that you'd like us to discuss, feel free to comment or send those to Lisa and we will get those in there.
Perfect. And we will have our own Reddit community that will be called The Real Real Estate. So any stories or anything like that that you would like us to read on the podcast, feel free to upload them to that community at The Real Real Estate. And we'll do episodes that are just from that Reddit feed.
Cool.
Perfect.
All right.
Thanks.